Welcome to the Townships at 12. I'm your host, Maureen Dillon Teasdale, and you're listening to CJMQ 88.9 FM, The Cube. In part one of today's show, I will be speaking with Jackie T. Hanlon and Nathania Burnaby. They are co-founders of the Affair of Honors Theater, and they will be bringing Multi-V's to the Turner Theater on the campus of Bishop's University on Thursday and Friday of this week, April 23rd and 24th. I will also have some announcements for community events in the first half hour. And in part two, I will be speaking with the general manager of the Museum of Nature and Science in Sherbrooke, Alex Martin. And I will have some health news and more music in the second part of the show. So let's get the show started today with a song called Universe Talking. It's by Canadian band The Arkells.
Take me out of this west side bar. Take me uptown wherever you are. I got stories like souvenirs to bring back home to you. Tell me, when did you get so soft? Every message ending with a red heart. I'll even read a horoscope you sent me. Believe it might come true. And how do you know it? How do you know that it's time? And now you're coming over. What are you leaving behind? And now you live inside of me like a melody. Sometimes I just can't tell. Do I hear the universe talking? Or am I talking to myself? Am I talking to myself? Hit? Was it just for suckers and blind romantics? Those rattling on lovesick poets swimming in the fountain of youth. Now I see your name everywhere. The smell of coffee shop in your hair. Clear the calendar, let's clear the air. When you gonna break the news? And how do you know it? How do you know that it's time? Your eyes years ago, staying on track. Was it a clue this whole time? But Sarah said he ain't all bad. On stage, start thinking about you. Am I more than a distraction? Good night, my love. Let's see this through. Talking to myself.
Today we're stepping into the world of theater with a production that promises to be both intriguing and thought-provoking. It's called Multi-V's, a title that already sparks a bit of curiosity. This play explores layered identities, perspectives, and experiences, weaving together multiple voices in a way that invites the audience to reflect on how we see ourselves and each other. It's a kind of performance that doesn't just entertain. It gets you thinking and maybe even seeing things a little differently. Joining me now is Jackie and Nathania, co-founders of the Affair of Honors Theater, and they are here to tell us more about what Multi-V's is all about, what inspired it, and what audiences can expect when they take their seats. Maureen Dillon Teasdale for theCUBE, and today I'm really pleased to welcome Nathania Burnaby, Jackie T. Hanlon to the Townships at 12. Mm-hmm. They're co-founders of the Affair of Honor Theater, and very happy to welcome them to the show today. They will be coming to the Turner Theater on the campus of Bishop's University on April 23rd and the 24th for the production called Multi-V. So welcome, ladies.
Thank you so much for having us.
Now, for listeners hearing about Multi-V's for the first time, how would you describe the show in your own words?
Amazing.
We're so excited. So Multi-Verses, the V's is actually like a play on word for the word versus. So it's like, and then also because we jump into different actual multiverse, we bounce around from universe to universe. We try to emulate what it kind of feels like to be scrolling on your phone, flipping quickly through thing to thing to thing to thing, not really staying anywhere for particularly long. So it moves quite fast. It's really goofy. It's really funny. But we find ourselves kind of at the heart of the story close to the end.
Oh, and sorry. And yeah, there's a few themes of like grief and loss, but also just like our biggest takeaway is just like being present with the people around you.
Mm-hmm. Now, what sparked that inspiration for this show?
The biggest inspiration was, actually my sister is a big inspiration. I actually lost her in 2015, and it's actually a homage to her. And then we also ended up watching the movie Everything Everywhere All at Once. And that also was a huge, huge influence on how we created this work.
Creation, yeah.
Okay, sorry to hear that. Now, multiverse stories are everywhere right now. What makes Multi-V's unique?
A fun play on, yes, the multiverse universe, but also in our kind of unique form of storytelling, because again, we're an action-based theater company. We only produce action-based shows. Our niche is stage combat and performative fighting. Rather than kind of alternate realities of individuals, we're really bouncing around from world to world. People have described it as almost video game-ish, but we do. We hit kind of the kookiness that we see a little bit in Everything Everywhere All at Once, but we're not quite playing the world of timeline. We're like, oh, well, what happened if... what if this happened, or what if they turned left, or what if they turned right? It's more kind of drastic pulls in entirely different universes rather than alternate realities of our one existing.
And it's been very wonderful being able to share this all over the world, or hopefully the world one day. All over the country, we had one reviewer say, like, out of the 18 years of theater, she's actually never seen a show like ours. So again, like, hopefully that's a really big pull for people who have seen a lot of like, multiverse content for sure. So it's good to be able to hear that we're still able to surprise the audience and make them come on a really fun, wild ride.
Why use the multiverse as a way to explore the human condition?
I think right now what's really interesting, and we teach a lot, we actually have a huge educational component to our company. We actually teach a lot of high schools, like we've taught all over the country. And the biggest thing that we've noticed, especially with youth, is that we are so attached to social media and being able to just see such curated content. So the multiverse is kind of like an escapism for one of the characters where she just doesn't want to deal with what's in front of her and would rather just be playing in these worlds where she feels powerful and untouchable. But like you said, like the human condition is about what happens when, you know, that vulnerability comes out and how important that is actually for the aspect of who you are as a person.
And how much harder it can be to face those things when you haven't spent enough time away from our devices and our screens. And we kind of get used to them as coping mechanisms, when really finding ways to disconnect with humans is really the best way to kind of come back.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Now, the story follows two strangers forced to work together. What can you tell us about their relationship?
We can't give away too much because we don't want to throw away the ending. But what we kind of do see is it's two characters that kind of keep getting paired up in a scenario or like a gaming scenario where you should kind of be randomly scrolling through different people. If anyone's ever done any online online gaming, you kind of get random partners from all over the world. And as the two characters kind of realize they keep getting paired up, it's the same person, it's the same person, it's the same person. So there's something kind of wrong. So they realize that the system's not working correctly, so they're trying to figure out what's going on. And then we start seeing little glitches of things that are absolutely not from these multiversal worlds. We're seeing something absolutely different. And as it kind of devolves, we get an idea of who these two people are to each other, and that potentially they're not exactly strangers, without giving too much away. Yeah.
Oh, no, we're just really excited to be back here at Bishop's University. Yeah. This is actually Jackie's alma mater. She's alumni here, and we've had the pleasure of being able to come and teach and guest direct twice at this amazing, amazing university and connect with so many incredible actors. And so it's been really awesome that we get to start the 2026 tour here, because mm-hmm. we actually built a Multiverses in 2023 for the Edmonton Fringe, and it's actually been given a lot of life since then and mm-hmm. a lot of development. And this show actually is going to be again a little bit newer, because every time we get a chance to put it in rehearsal,
we change it.
We actually have a new weapon who's come on to tour with us. It's just been very fun just being able to have so much time with a piece to keep developing it. And so we're just really excited that we get to start off our tour here in Quebec, because we've actually never brought a show out to Quebec that isn't us producing it
directing it. It's been a treat to direct here the past few years, but I haven't physically stood on the Turner Studio stage since 2015, so that'll be exciting.
Oh, wow. Okay. There's also deeper themes like loss, war, and connection. How do you balance those with humor?
Oh, as we all do, I think plenty of people can understand having a defense mechanism. And how they respond to hard things through laughter or joy.
Comedy, yeah.
And I think we do find a nice balance of, because we don't want people to walk away from our show feeling heavy.
We want hopeful. Like, we really think mm-hmm. it's really important, especially around the times now. It's like our biggest takeaway is like hope and connection.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, this is described as a high-impact production with electrifying stage combat. What can audiences expect visually and physically on stage?
They're going to see us sweat a lot. We pretty much go at it for about 50 minutes, kind of steady on, an hour through. But we've both trained with an organization called Fight Directors Canada, where you can certify in multiple levels of stage combat. And the whole premise there is that it's a repeatable form of performative fighting, so it's sustainable work. But in this production, we've got multiple different weapon systems. We've got swords, we've got knives, we've got shields, we've got sticks, we've got staffs. We have hauled 3 bags of equipment on and off of planes to bring the show out here. So we're super excited to share it and show how many different styles of martial arts that we get to put on display in the show. It's really our favorite thing to do.
How challenging is it for actors to perform in such a fast-paced, physically demanding show?
Oh my gosh, we are always having individual goals of mm-hmm. what we want like for this show. So we actually do this a lot when we mm-hmm. are doing our own shows with bigger ensembles. We always tell people, what are your goals for this show? Some people are like, I want to do a wall flip in this show. And some people are like, I just want to touch my toes. And because we know that this one is like, our cardio, like our VO2 max is really, really challenged in this show. Last year, our biggest goal was being able to just make sure that we didn't feel after the show as like tired.
Mm-hmm.
And it was actually great because we actually felt that, because like the first 2 years that we did it, like after every show, it was just such like we were just so drained, so tired. And then so we've been, like you said,
a lot about our sustainability.
To
prepare our cardiovascular systems and muscular systems to perform the show sustainably.
Yeah.
And we really have hit like a nice pocket with it now. So it was a learning curve for us as well.
For this one, I think the hardest part is just keeping it alive, because we actually have big gaps in between every show. Mm-hmm. So it's not like we get this nice run and we're just going to hit a good groove. It's like we do 2 shows here and then we have a month break until we do another, hopefully 2 shows in Halifax. Mm-hmm. And then we have another almost like 2 weeks until we do another showing when we go back home to Vancouver. Mm-hmm. And then we have another 2 weeks until we hit Vernon. And then we have another like week before we do the shoe swap. So it's been like crazy to try and like you said, balance it, keep it in our bodies.
Finding the time to do our burpees and get our squats in. That's about it.
Okay. What goes into choreographing a production like this?
When we first kind of created it, we admittedly used some previous choreography that we kind of had in our bodies, because as you mentioned before, we're chatting, we put the first show together in 30 days. But what's fun about the different weapon systems we're using is that they all move in very different ways. In some worlds, we're working with like Italian rapiers, and others in French small swords. We use Chinese martial arts weapons in this show as well. So they all move so differently. When we're choreographing, we're obviously being aware of the story that we want to tell and who's winning, so the audience can go along that ride with us. But we're also really trying to showcase the difference between all the weapon styles and how they move individually.
Now, the show is called Funny, Fast-Paced, and Heart-Wrenching. What kind of emotional journey do you hope audiences go through?
Just about those words in that order, to be honest. We start out fast. It gets pretty goofy. We have a lot of fun performing the show. I've almost corpsed on stage once or twice. And by the end, as it all kind of comes through, again, we hit our emotional peak at the end when we kind of realize what these characters are going through. But we hope that at the end, people are left with a feeling of hope and that maybe they'll go ahead and just call someone they love and say they're thinking of them.
Nice message. What elements like strobe lighting, loud noises, and intense themes, what should audiences be prepared for?
It is loud.
It is very dependent on the sound design. We're bringing our stage manager is actually our sound designer, an incredible sound designer. And as a director, I really, really love what they've created. Mm-hmm. And the biggest one for us is like we're really heavy on the bass. We don't know if it's going to happen. We've asked the tech crew if we're going to be able to get a sub because we really want you to feel the sound in your butt.
Yeah. It's the vibe. Yeah.
Yeah, but no, it is a rowdy and loud show.
The loud show. Our weapons are they're stage safe. Nothing on stage that we've been playing with would be sharp, obviously. But we work with real steel instruments and wooden shields, so the sound of them hitting can be loud. We've got themes of war, because again, we bounce around from just so many different realities.
And there's haze, and yeah, mm-hmm. so very like we try to create just like a lot of things and leave your imagination to run wild with mm-hmm. where we're going to be, because we don't necessarily change costumes.
And there's no set.
Yeah. It's just us in a circle of heavens.
Okay. Sounds exciting. Why did you choose to recommend the show for ages 12 and up?
The biggest one that we are excited about our work is the accessibility. We've had a lot of people who are not natural theater goers who go, wow, I'm really glad that I had a time out. This is a different experience. And our biggest one is to connect to the youth. Mm-hmm. And so, and we've been very, very lucky. There's been a lot of like high school teachers that we've connected with who are so excited that we are able to bring work to that age group. Mm-hmm. Because usually sometimes when they do TYA or theater for young audiences, it is for like 12 and below.
Yeah. We're trying to give something to that pocket of teen, to high school, like junior high to high school age group. Because again, like Nathaniel said, there's not a whole lot of content for them there. And as far as, you know, ratings go, we leave it to the parents. But we have one curse word. And sometimes if you're younger, there's a course language. Depending on how people want to bring their younger kids to something that can be just loud. As far as like the audio stimulus, if sometimes it can be a lot for younger kids, but mm-hmm. ultimately, we really want to aim this at the kind of teen to adult audience.
And to create conversation. Mm-hmm. I think that's a really big one that we love about theater.
Yeah.
And we want to give access to theater to the younger generation, too. Because mm-hmm. we're gonna need them.
Okay. Now, you've received major recognition at fringe festivals. What did those awards mean to your team?
It was really lovely and super unexpected. We were honestly just happy to share the show, because it was kind of our goal to get that far away from home. We were from Vancouver, to bring them to the Fundy Fringe and the Halifax Fringe and to have the community be so receptive to what it was we were doing was really quite stunning. We were very honored that everyone enjoyed our work so much.
Especially for this piece, like we actually have nothing to hide behind. It's just us and our writing.
And our choreography and our acting.
And like we've been very lucky to have some really good friends come in to help with like acting beats and making sure like when we're, because like when you're kind of self-directing, it is always good to make sure you have an outside eye, especially for the emotional story. But again, it's so vulnerable to bring a piece like that because there's nothing else we can hold on to. The first piece we had, we actually had two other actors come on tour with us.
And that was our first ever piece, but it felt wonderful to do just because we got to connect with them and look at them on stage, and they got to say our words and be able to bring it to life versus it's like, this is really all on us. So it actually just meant a lot that it was received really well, mm-hmm. especially because Jackie is being very humble about it, but that's her hometown.
Oh, yeah.
And it's really crazy. We're going to be celebrating 10 years of being a company in 2027. And this is the first time Jackie's ever been able to bring one of our shows to the East Coast. Mm-hmm. And there was a time where her like dad finally got to see a show in person, you know, her nephew has never. And actually, I think he was our first ever theater show.
That's true. Yep.
He, 9 years old. Yep.
Okay, he had a great time. Okay. What was the biggest challenge in bringing such a complex multi-world story to the stage?
Touring logistics,
honestly.
How do you get shields onto a plane? How do you get all of our swords onto a plane and costumes when there's only two of us and sometimes our stage manager comes?
Literally just kind of lugging the baggage in and out is the most complicated part, but once we're there, we're great. We have an amazing team. As Nathaniel mentioned, our sound designer and stage manager Shona Struthers is with us,
and then our lighting designer has been literally patching new designs for each individual venue. And Bishop's Turner Studio is actually quite special because it's actually a zero state, so unfortunately our lighting designer actually has to pull a full design, a new design from scratch. So our lighting designer is working super hard. Like, I think they're doing six different designs for six different venues this year.
We're very lucky to have such a good team.
Yeah.
Okay. What do you hope audiences are still thinking about after the show ends?
I hope they feel pumped up. I hope they feel excited. That kind of feeling you have when you like walk away from an action movie or you see something and you're like, you kind of feel like maybe you could like jump over a car or something or like do the foot slide just because you're feeling kind of amped up.
And the thing is just having a fun time out seeing theater. Mm-hmm. I think that's the biggest one for us. It's just being like, come and see live theater, people in front of you in the flesh, just sharing a story.
Mm-hmm. Anything else we left out that you'd like to add, either one of you, Jackie or Nathania?
No, we're just we're super excited to be here again. I feel like I'm ticking off a bunch of boxes for myself. I finally got to perform in my hometown, and now I get to come back to my university. I perform back on my old university stage. We're super excited to be back in Lenoxville, especially for the springtime season here. I know it gets so beautiful in the eastern townships here. Yeah, anything I'm missing?
No. Again, the sentiment?
I
have the same sentiment.
Similar sentiment. Excited to be here, excited to share.
I'm like just super grateful that we are able to connect with Jackie's older like alumni and that they have brought us back to actually also help connect with all these amazing up-and-coming emerging artists.
The current
students that were that we actually taught, they're actually going to be doing The Importance of Being Earnest right after we close. So they're going to be at the Haskell Opera House and Turner Studio. So apparently they've been asked to bring that show back. So it's been great to reconnect with them and seeing what they're doing and how they're creating art and being producers. So we're very, very excited about that.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like a really exciting show. We've been talking today with Jackie T. Hanlon and Nathania Burnaby, Bishop's University Department, presenting Multi-Vs, created and performed by the Affair of Honors Theater. And the co-founders are Jackie and Nathania. And that happens on April 23rd and 24th. Do we have the time of the evening the performance starts?
7:30
at the Turner Studio. And anybody 12 years old and older, I guess, is welcome. So thanks very much and all the best.
Thank you so much
for your time. This is so lovely being able to talk about our work.
Oh, it was lovely talking to you. Sounds like a really exciting performance. Thanks again.
Thank you so much.
And next up, we have some community event announcements for you. And we have a couple of events coming up for the St. Francis Valley Naturalist Club, Thursday, April 23rd at 2 p.m. Club member Camille DeFrance will be giving a special talk at the Grace Village, and all members and friends are invited. That's 1515 Pleasant View in Huntingville, Sherbrooke. Birds and Blooms, a visual presentation about common birds that we may see in our garden and how to create a garden sanctuary. And now a presentation in English, Thursday, April 23rd at 2 p.m. Camille DeFrance is a bird watcher, writer, and St. Francis Valley Naturalist Club member. Also coming up, the next presentation for the St. Francis Valley Naturalist Club will be on Wednesday, April 29th, 7 p.m. Margot Maillard will compare and contrast her experiences as an ecology intern in the Gaspé with those in Mexico. She will show photos and videos of the flora and fauna and describe life as a wildlife intern. So that comes up on April 29th, Wednesday, 7 p.m. That will be held at the Amity-Baudouin Community Center. Members of the St. Francis Valley Naturalist Club and also anyone interested is welcome to attend. And we have some events coming up at the ANAF Unit 318, The Hut, over on 300 St. Francis Street. There's a dance with Sydney Aulis every Sunday in April, 1:30 to 5:30 p.m., $10 at the door. Everyone 18 years and over is welcome. Coming up at the Lennoxville Library on Saturday, April 25th at 2:30 p.m., it's Township's Poetry Reading. Everybody is invited to attend, and the Lennoxville Library is located at 101 Queen Street in Sherbrooke in Lennoxville. There will be a fundraiser spaghetti supper happening on April 25th. Bury Firefighters Spaghetti Supper to raise money for the Volunteer Fire Department in Barrie. 563 Main Street in Barrie. $15 per person. 8 and under eat for free. Starts at 5 p.m. For tickets, call the Barrie Fire Chief at 819-452-1017. That's 819-452-1017. St. George's Anglican Church in Lennoxville is hosting a bake sale on April 24th from 11:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. during the final Friday soup lunch of the month. Stop by for lunch and support the Evening Anglican Church Women. Mental Health S3 will be having another online workshop, Always On High, Functioning Anxiety and Hustle Culture, led by Melissa Hindley, MACO psychotherapist, Wednesday, April 29th, 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. online Zoom. Many of us know what it is like to feel constantly on, pushing through, staying productive, and carrying on even when we are overwhelmed. This workshop will explore high-functioning anxiety, the pressure to stay in work-hard mode, and how this can keep us stuck in stress and survival mode. Together, we'll look at how this shows up in our daily lives and share practical ways to move toward more balance. Call Mental Health S3 for more information or to register. 819-565-3777. St. Francis Elementary School in Richmond is proud to present the 22nd edition of Babies and Kids Bazaar, taking place on Saturday, May 9, 8:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. at the school, located at 355 College Street South in Richmond. This student-led event highlights both community engagement and environmental responsibility. The gymnasium will feature up to 40 tables offering gently used children's items, as well as unique products from local vendors and entrepreneurs. In the cafeteria, visitors can browse a wide selection of gently used books in both English and French for all ages and purchase delicious treats off the bake table. Admission is free. Each visitor will receive a free door prize coupon. The event is organized and led by grade 5 students who are developing entrepreneurial skills while promoting reusing and buying local funds raised through table rentals, and the bake sale will support their end-of-year field trip camping to Riviere Nicolet in Watton. Those interested in selling can rent a table for $15 or two for $25, with clothing racks available for $5. Setup is simple and support is provided to ensure a smooth and enjoyable experience. For more information or to register online, please visit the Facebook page St. Francis Babies and Kids Bazaar. Mother's Day Weekend Spring Market, happening at The Hut, 300 St. Francis Street in Lennoxville on Saturday, May 9th from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. I would like to thank my guest in the first part of today's show, Jackie T. Hanlon and Nathania Burnaby. Don't miss Multi-V's at the Turner Studio on April 23rd and 24th. We will take a break and hear the news with Derek Bullard, and then we will be right back with part two of the Townships at 12. And in part two today, I will be speaking with General Manager of the Museum of Nature and Science in Sherbrooke, Alex Martin. We will close part one with a song called Electric Circus, and it's a new one by Nelly Furtado and Boy Ida. You're listening to CJMQ 88.9 FM. This is the Townships at 12 show, and I'm your host, Maureen Dillon Teasdale. So please stay tuned.